day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the NIIT Limited Q4 and FY16 Investor Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, Managing Director and Vice Chairman, NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining this conference call. I know it's a very busy results season, so thank you for sparing your time. In the next 60 minutes, we intend to have a very productive call, which will be led by my colleague Rahul Patwardhan, PAT for short, who's the CEO of the company. And accompanying him is myself and my other colleagues on the board, as well as other senior colleagues. So I will, without any further delay, I would like to hand it over to Pat to make his opening remarks, and then we would open it up for Q&A.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for making time to listen to our results in the busy period. For those of you who are on the call, again, welcome back. And for those of you who are on the call for the first time, welcome to the first interaction with NIIT. It's been a very important year for us, a year of turnaround, a year of restructuring, a year of bringing back into momentum the company for a growth trajectory for the future. So the first thing I'd like to really say is that the plans that we laid out at the beginning of the year and that shared with all of you and the public at large, I'm very happy to say that we have delivered on those plans. And we have also, beyond delivering on those plans, put in place the platform for accelerating growth and performance over the next few years. I'll take you briefly through the quarter four and the full year numbers, some of the metrics, not everything. And then after that, it could probably set the base for you to ask specific questions for whatever areas that you are particularly interested in. So first, let me start with the overall picture from NIIT. For the quarter, we hit a revenue of 238.9 crores, which had 7% YOY growth rate over last year. And for the full year, we've crossed 10,000 million or 1,006 crores, which is a 5% YOY growth rate. What is important to emphasize here is that our revenue top line has been accelerating. We started the year with a growth rate of 4% YOY, 5% quarter two, 6% quarter three, and quarter four we're now with 7%. So the trajectory is moving very much in the direction that we wanted it to. All this has been achieved on the basis of the steady growth of the corporate learning business and the back-to-growth turnaround of the skills and career business. If we look at the go-forward businesses, as you recall, in quarter four last year and, in fact, a couple of years before that, we took decisions to exit certain businesses, the government schools business, as well as certain international geographies, which I decided to exit in quarter four of the previous year. So if you compare on a like-to-like basis, our go-forward revenues have actually grown 13% YOY for the quarter, and for the full year, it's grown 11%. So the point I'd like to make here is that now the base business which we are focused on is growing in double-digit and more. The revenue distribution for the full year, corporate learning business clocked 56% of the total revenue, SNC 33%, and the schools and schools business 11%. And by geography, the India business was 35%, the U.S. and European markets put together were 56%, and the rest of the world business, which is China and Africa and a little bit of work that we do in Southeast Asia, is 8% of the business. Our EBITDA for quarter four was 132 million, 6% EBITDA, up 74% compared to the previous year's operational figures for the same quarter. And for the full year, we clocked 712 million, which is a 7% EBITDA, up 61% versus the full year operational figures for the last year. I just want to emphasize that if you were to look at the reported numbers, the improvements obviously are substantially larger because in quarter four last year, we took various we did a restructuring, and therefore the EBITDA numbers were lower. But we're comparing the operational numbers. What I've shared with you was operational comparison. On PAT, our quarter four numbers, 178 million, which is a 7% PAT, which is up 326 million versus the previous year, quarter four. And the full year is 672 million, up 694 million versus the previous year operational. A couple of other metrics are operational PAT. This is before the share of associate profits, NIT Technologies share of profits. Before that, we hit 37 million positive for the full year, which is the first time we've been positive in the last 4 years on operational PAT. Our depreciation at 492 million is down 21% versus the previous year. And this confirmed the fact that we are continuing to move towards and further asset-light organization. Our ROC for the full year was 7.1%. Our EPS for the full year was 4.1%. Our bills receivable from last quarter of 2567 has come down to 2500. Our DSO days has also improved from 94 at the end of last quarter to 91 at the end of the quarter four. Our net debt has also gone down from last quarter of 1168 million, is now standing at 1001 million. And our headcount, excluding retainers, is down to 2372 from 2705 last quarter. And the reason for the reduction of 300 or so is because the Bhutan project got over and we released about 250 staff. So commentary as for the, if I were to summarize, the year, overall the year has gone very much to plan. In fact, the numbers that we've delivered are slightly better than what we had hoped to deliver. The SMC business transformation program has delivered the results. It's brought it back to growth and back to profit, while CLG, as indicated, has delivered 16% top-line growth and 12% EBITDA. If I now take you into the individual businesses, the CLG business at quarter four was up 18% YOY. And if you look at the full year, is up 16% YOY, so slightly ahead of the 15% that we indicated. The EBITDA is at 12%, a few basis points better than last year, if you get down to the details. Our MTS share of revenue for FY16 is at 90%, as against 87% last year, which emphasizes the fact that we are moving more and more towards long-term annuity-based business. Our revenue visibility has risen. It's not right now at 200 million US, up 11% from the same point last year. We've added 4 new customers this quarter and 7 overall the year, so this has been a very good quarter in terms of new customers. Our order intake for the full year has grown 28% over last year, and our pending order book stands at 27% up from the same date from the end of last year. So overall, CLG business, in spite of the weakness that was seen in the energy vertical, delivered a consistent growth and also improved its EBITDA. In fact, we actually did a little better than 12%, but we invested back the improvements that we got due to productivity into enhancing our sales and advisory capacity. So that hasn't come through in the final numbers, but there was actual improvement. We've also made some important platform investments in CLG, and the funnel at this point of time is amongst the healthiest that we've ever seen in the last few quarters. The SMC business, the quarter four revenue was up 5%. This is compared to negative 17% in the same quarter last year, so substantial turnaround. And for the full year, at 3326 million, our SMC revenues are up 1%, so back to growth as we had indicated. In the previous year, we had actually degrown 18%. And if you look at the quarter trend, we were minus 3% for quarter one, plus 1% for quarter two, plus 3% for quarter three, and plus 5% for quarter four. So again, the trajectory is healthily moving in the right direction. Our EBITDA for the full year stood at 51 million. Which is 2% EBITDA, back to profit as we had indicated. Last year we were minus 5%. Apart from this, a few other metrics here. Our channel business, which is all the business we do through our business partners in India, in spite of the fact that we actually reduced our number of channel partners by 43% over the same period last year, our revenue from the channel has gone up 8%. So substantial improvement in channel performance. And our beyond IT growth has actually been 23% for the full year, which is our banking and management training. In particular, the banking business has done extremely well. If you look at beyond IT versus IT, beyond IT has now hit 40% of the total revenue of SNC versus 33% last year. An important thing, after our investment or our kickoff of the NIT TV activity in quarter three, we decided to pull forward some of our investments for our commercial online portal, which we had actually planned to do in this year. And we made some investments in quarter four. So we spent about $22 million, which are not reflected in the EBITDA numbers I just mentioned for SNC. But even if we were to include them there, we have delivered profit for SNC at about $32 million. We launched the DigiNext and the new GNIIT or digital GNIIT program recently. And we believe that we are right now very well positioned to address the major digital transformation that is happening in the IT sector. Those of you who track the IT sector would be well aware that the single biggest concern and opportunity that the IT services firms are facing is how to reskill their entire workforce so that they are suitably skilled to service all the business that's coming in, which is all digital skills. And we are engaged really well with all these companies, and we're getting very strong pull in terms of these products. NIT TV, a few metrics. Our total user base has now crossed 300,000. More important, we have more than 5,500 courses across undergrad, IT, management, schools, and engineering. And this is probably, anecdotally, I'm told that this is probably the largest Indian online portal in terms of the number of courses that are being offered today. And all this has been achieved in less than 6 months. The average time spent by a learner on NIT TV is 13 minutes, which is again significantly above the average for most MOOCs that you see worldwide. So that's a good indicator. StackRoot, which we launched in August last year, has made immense progress. We have strong demand for this program from a number of large IT services firms, and we've completed 7 waves of enrollment, and we've got extremely good feedback for all the students who passed out of these programs, who are all existing working professionals of the large IT companies. So overall, for the full year, the SNC Business Transformation Program delivered exactly what we wanted it to deliver. In fact, in numbers, we delivered a little better than our expectation. But we brought the business back to growth and back to profit. The international part of the SNC business has grown very strongly with very good margin. The channel business, as I mentioned, has grown really well. Beyond IT has grown really well. And our big new initiatives, StackRoot and IT TV and DigiNext, are all doing extremely well at the current moment. Schools business, our revenue for quarter was down 22% to 301 million, understandably because we also exited the government schools for Andhra Pradesh and Telangana in quarter two. Having said that, our go-forward business, which is if we exclude the government business and the asset-based business, which we are not doing anymore, the go-forward business in quarter four has actually grown 4%, which is a clear signaling of the fact that the new leadership team Gavin Abreu, who has taken on the role as the CEO in November, is already having impact in terms of the upturn in the performance of this business. On EBITDA, we did an EBITDA of 16 million in the quarter four, which is 5% EBITDA, which versus 12% last quarter, and minus 12% last quarter. And for the full year, our EBITDA is 22 million, which is 2%. Compared to 4% last year. And this, I must emphasize, is in spite of our revenue dropping 25%, we've been able to maintain roughly the same EBITDA. And obviously, the expectations are with the restructured business, we'll be doing better next year. We added 122 new school customers in this quarter. Our government services receivables have reduced from 1026 million to 953 million. So some progress has been made on some important receivables in government. And our share of NGSA is now at 68% versus 62% at the end of last year. So overall for the schools business, the business degrew because the government schools business, some of it came to an end. We formed a new subsidiary. We had a new CEO joining. We did significant restructuring of the cost phase and also the asset phase. And our sales productivity has already improved substantially this year compared to the previous year. So we now have a reshaped business which has delivered 2% EBITDA on a 25% lower revenue base and a 4% YOY growth on the go-forward business in quarter four. So this has really set the base for looking forward with the new investment program and the new vision that Gavin has defined for the next 3 years. I'd also like to take you very briefly through a forward view of where we're looking heading, and then I can take questions after that. So looking forward for the coming year, we are looking for at the corporate business continuing its trajectory of 15% top line and 12% EBITDA. And any improvements in EBITDA that we get because of productivity improvements, we will keep reinvesting back to enhance the sales and advisory and platform investments. SNC business, we're expecting the top line growth to be in high single digits as against the 1% that we had this year. And we're also expecting our EBITDA, which was 2% for this year, to improve significantly. But it will remain in single digits. What I want to do emphasize, however, is quarter one is a period where in DigiNext and in StackRoot, we are making significant investments so that we can actually deliver the significant demand that we're seeing in the market. And that will reflect a little bit on the EBITDA for quarter one, while the revenue line will continue to track upwards as it has been for the last four quarters. I'll stop here and then I can answer questions on strategy and anything else that you'd like me to respond to.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question at this time may press star and one on your phone. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhishek Kumar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. My first question, Rahul, is on the demand environment, especially in the managed training services. Have you seen more acceptance or more willingness from the large enterprises to outsource their training spend compared to what they were at a couple of years back or even 1 year back? That will be my first question.
Okay, so the short answer is yes, and it is reflected in real terms in the fact that our funnel is the strongest that it's been in the last five quarters or six quarters that I've been around. Our strategy to deliberately de-risk ourselves a little bit from the oil sector and focus on BFSI and life sciences is also visible in the funnel. So we don't share details in the funnel, but we are currently feeling very comfortable and satisfied with the quality and the size of our funnel. In addition, we're also starting to see emergence of what we call comprehensive, or at least RFIs and RFPs for comprehensive deals. So often these do not necessarily culminate in actually an order. We have Sapnesh on the call, who's heading our CLG business. Sapnesh, would you like to add any comments on this?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We are seeing uptick and more importantly, corporations desire or enterprises desire to outsource what is not core to their business. Specifically, they're starting to see specialist organizations like an IIT come up and be able to perform well on training outsourcing. And that's, I think, resulting into more confidence in corporations and therefore an expanded funnel and a larger set of opportunities.
That's helpful. I would just like to dig a little deeper. I mean, the way I was coming from was while 15% growth for next year is healthy, but it is still lower than the growth that we were witnessing a couple of years back. FY 14 and 15 both, the growth was significantly healthy. So given the fact that the pipeline has been very healthy and we have been winning consistently clients, is 15% slightly more on the conservative side, or is it because the effect of softness in the energy client is keeping the growth rate, at least the aspirational growth rate, low at this point?
So you were coming in and out, and so I could hear maybe one in three words that you said, but I think the gist of what you were asking was that the growth rates that we are projecting, are they conservative, or is it because of the softness in the oil sector or the different reasons that you pointed out? I would say, you know, all of the above. As you're probably aware, energy segment is a reasonably significant part of our current revenues, and softness in that requires us to first fulfill the hole that that softness has created before we start growing. But I think from an overall perspective, we see strong growth opportunities in spite of the fact that there is softness in the energy segment.
Okay. My next question is, Rahul, you initially when you joined, you said that the focus will be on improving the deal win ratio, and also in terms of improving the RFPs or in terms of our proposals. So you did mention that we have been working on some comprehensive RFPs. So if you could give us an update on how the win ratios have improved, or how have we progressed on that front?
Yeah, I'll let Sapnesh answer that. He's better equipped to give the metrics.
Sure. So our deal win ratios have improved from 1 in 6 opportunities to now 2.5 in 6 opportunities. So, and when I say 1 in 6 opportunities, that is responding to qualified opportunities. We used to win 1 out of 6. Now we are winning 2.5 out of 6. That's an indication. Overall, that's a substantial improvement. So now we are at almost winning a shade below 1 out of 2 qualified opportunities. Did that answer your question?
Yes, yes, that's very helpful. And my next question is on the skills and career group. The very strong growth that we have seen beyond IT, you mentioned that it is because of the banking sector. So is there any seasonality which has led to this strong growth, or can we expect this to sustain going forward also?
Yeah, I think if you've been tracking what's happening in the banking sector and the announcements by various banks, in fact, just 2 weeks ago or a week ago, there was an announcement about total recruitment by the top three banks, HDFC, Axis, and ICICI. And our main customer is ICICI, but we also service a number of the others. All of them are indicating that there is going to continue to be substantial recruitment in the coming years, or the coming years, because of their need to service the branch opening targets for the smaller towns and cities across India. So we see that continuing, and also we are expanding our portfolio as well as expanding our reach to more banks. I'm trying to penetrate a few more on at a deeper level. So We are feeling confident about the banking projection going forward.
Okay, so FY17, if we have to look out for in this segment, would it be fair to assume that beyond IT will still be driving the overall growth, or you think even the IT will start pitching in with StackRoute and other initiatives that we've taken?
Yeah, IT is going to improve. We are seeing, and it is our intent that this year we will see a bounce back of the IT business. Bounce back may be a big word because bounce sounds like it's going to go very high up. but there's going to be a turnaround on the IT. And in terms of the launch of Statute and DigiNext, we already see a lot of confidence because of the demand that we're seeing from the recruiters and the companies. They really like the products. They're getting extremely good feedback about what we are offering. Our task is to make sure we bridge the gap between what the companies very clearly want and what the youngsters in colleges understand about this product. So this quarter and the next quarter for us is very critical to get our communication to the undergraduate market segment, especially the engineering undergraduate market segment, correct. The second part of it, of course, is the reskilling of existing IT professionals. There, I think we are more confident because the demand is driven by the companies themselves and it's their own employees who need to be retrained. So there is the scaling of tasks. It's more about getting our infrastructure in place to deliver the demand that we can already see.
Great. Thank you and all the best for the year ahead.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Manik Taneja from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my question pertains to the skills and careers segment. If you could talk in detail about, while you've alluded to some of the courses that you've launched recently, if you could talk in detail about some of your the courses on the digital side, and as well as some understanding in terms of, is there a corporate tie-up that we are essentially working with in terms of reskilling of the existing workforce, and some sense in terms of how should one expect the benefits from operating leverage flowing in this part of the business.
Okay. So I'll give you a few comments, and then I'll ask Prakash Anand, who took over responsibility for the SNC business globally. You may recall that he was heading the China and international business till around the end of quarter three. But based on the success that he has had there, plus in a way he launched DigiNext in not in the same name, but in China last year. So we have a proven track record of the DigiNext model being rolled out, which is now being rolled out in India. So overall, the SNC business, as I said, we are expecting the overall SNC business to deliver high single-digit growth rate for FY17 over FY16 compared to the 1% that we delivered this year over last year. That should give you an indication about our confidence about the improvement in this business overall. And that is not based or predicated only on beyond IT. It is on both parts of the business. What we are launching is two parts. One is the StackRoot program in IT. The second is the DigiNext program. StackRoot is focused at the corporates in India for the reskilling of their workforce, but it's a very high-end reskilling of workforce who are involved only in digital services and in IT creation. The DigiNext program is for the larger volumes. Every single person in the large IT companies need to be reskilled on the new digital technologies, not necessarily because they have to become IP creators, but simply because all work coming in today involves digital skills. In addition, all these companies are looking at recruiting people fresh who have these skills ready to apply. And the problem is that the university system has completely failed in terms of providing these skills in the undergraduates who are emerging currently. So there's a short-term, immediate need for people who can get trained or who can be available to start and join these companies with these skills at the fresher level. And we are the only company who actually has built a program nationally to service this gap. So I think we're sitting on something which is very similar to what NIT did in 1981 when nobody was training people for the software sector, and we filled the gap, an opportunity to do what we did before. Beyond this, of course, there's also the banking sector, which I mentioned. There's also the management sector. So when you add it up all together, we are seeing clear improvements in top line and also improvements in EBITDA above the levels that we delivered this year. There's one more element which I didn't mention, which is that the NIT TV launch that we did in October last year has been successful from the metrics that we had laid out for ourselves. To emphasize, we had done this with zero marketing investment. And therefore, the progress we made in 6 months is actually quite commendable for a website of this kind. Because of that, we have now already preponed our plan to launch a commercial portal, and sometime in quarter one, we will be launching commercial programs, not through NIT TV, but through a commercial multimodal portal which leverages all the technology investments that we have already made in NIT TV. And we start seeing a revenue line emerging on the online business. Though in the coming year, we expect to be seeing negative EBITDA for the online business. So we're actually creating a separate business unit, which is headed by Uday Singh, who used to be responsible for strategy and technology for NIT. He's now full-time responsible for the new online business.
You can give us in terms of what kind of operating leverage should we look at in this business, because last year you've been able to control cost and report a positive EBITDA margin despite the investments that you're making in terms of new courses that you are launching.
Well, the only indicator I can give you is that we're expecting our EBITDA to improve that's as best as I can tell you at the moment.
Sure. Thank you and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kiran Cheda from Cheda Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, my question is a little more basic. We have a lot of subsidiaries and I'm actually a little lost on what business is fits in which subsidiary. So could you just help me out with that?
Yeah. So there are two sets of subsidiaries, or three sets of subsidiaries that we can talk about. One is we have subsidiaries in certain markets around the world which are essential for us to be able to service our multinational global customers because they insist in some cases on being billed locally. And in those cases, we have no option but to either set up a subsidiary or a branch. We study the pros and cons of whether it should be a branch or a subsidiary, accordingly decide. In many cases, it has turned out that the subsidiary made more sense than the branch. So that's one set. So they have a very relevant reason.
So these are all foreign subsidiaries.
These are all foreign subsidiaries.
All right.
The second set of subsidiaries that we have are subsidiaries in the emerging markets. For example, in China or in Africa, we have a subsidiary in Nigeria. These are all set up in the past because of our education business. In Nigeria, we do substantial business and we manage 28 franchisees through the subsidiary. So it is a very profitable business, actually. And in China, because we had to, every time you go into a new province, you are required to set up a local entity. Even if it's a 100% business of your own, the province requires you to set up an entity to be able to operate in that province. So that is why you will see a number of subsidiaries in the China business.
Okay.
And in India, we have, of course, the joint ventures, which
you're
aware of.
Okay. So Yuva Jyoti is all for the skill development.
Yuva Jyoti is a joint venture with NSCC, focused on skills development. Unicar is a joint venture with Genpact, focused on ITS and CPO-specific training. And IFBI is a joint venture with ICICI, focused on banking training.
And what does NIIT standalone do?
Yeah, NIIT standalone is the company where we service all the India domestic business, whether it is a retail business, or we manage all the channel partners in India, or we do the corporate business in India, or all the delivery that is done in India to support offshore delivery that is done to support the U.S. European CLG
business. Okay. All right, sir. Got it. So my second question pertains to your presentation, page 6, where we have shown net other income. And that is in negative for all the both the quarters and also both the years. So what is that, sir?
I'll ask Rohit, our CFO, to answer that.
Hi.
Yeah.
So the net other income includes the interest that we pay on our borrowings and It also includes if there are any forex gains or losses that have, you know, that have been are there any mark-to-mark losses that are there in the quarter, and if there are any other exceptional provisions or write-backs, then that also is covered in other income. So in this quarter, if you see minus 14, this is a combination of interest on loans and financial charges. The interest that we have earned on our deposit and loans of about 51.6 million, and we have a forex loss of minus 3 million. There is a write back that we have taken of approximately about 40 million for certain provisions that we had to take in the previous years. And as we have said that, you know, we would obviously be looking at recouping some of these amounts, and so here these provision in this year are now written back because they do not require to be provided for. So that is how we have a net other income of minus 14 in this quarter.
Okay. And so the annual would obviously come in the annual report also, right?
That is right. The annual figure for our net other income is minus 146.
Can you help me with the details if possible?
Yes, I can give you the details here. So the overall interest on loans and financial charges, net of interest on deposit and loans, is around about 215, approximately 215 million. And the balance is, there is a gain, forex gain of about 20 million. And the balance is the provisions that have been written back during the year.
Okay. All right. My third question refers to the...
I just wanted to remind you that, you know, last year we had taken a one-time charge and we had taken certain higher provisions. And we also mentioned that, you know, during the year we would be obviously looking at some of these provisions coming back into our profit and loss. So when I say these write-backs, these are these provisions which have now not necessarily required to be provided for.
So we have written back all the provisions, sir. So now we don't have any more that write-back that will come up.
Whatever has come in during this year, that we have written back.
All right. Okay. Okay, so my third question refers to the schools group. So, if I heard you correctly, we do not have any more government schools with us right now.
No, that's not correct. That's not correct. We completed the Andhra Pradesh and Telangana schools project in quarter two. We now have three remaining states: Maharashtra, which finishes actually in quarter two of this year, quarter two, quarter three borderline. Next year we will be completing Assam towards the end of FY17. And then 1 year later, we complete Chhattisgarh, and then we'll be completely out of the government schools business.
Okay. So, but we have added private schools, and anyways, we have been reducing government schools. So that's one part of it. And the other part of it is that we have been following an asset-light model. So, sir, what I don't understand is why would the margins still go down? The EBITDA margins still go down in this group.
Well, the government schools business margins were more or less break even. We've also had a period in the private schools business where we've had a management change and restructuring of the business. So as we go forward and there's more of the private sector schools business, currently private sector schools business is a smaller part of the total revenue. Uh-huh. But as that increases, the margin should go up.
Even in FY16, this has happened to a certain extent.
Yes, we've also got the closing down costs of the government schools business, which has to be factored in. When you finish a contract with a few hundred schools scattered across the state and we exit, then there are a lot of things that need to be done. So those closing costs also have an impact.
So what would be a steady state EBITDA operating margins for this group?
At this stage, we're not giving an indicator. We expect it to improve clearly compared to where it is today. But we have a completely new plan and new vision that has been charted by the new CEO for the coming 3 years. And one is to drive the existing
B2B business. Now that we've got a positive trajectory on the go-forward business, that will continue going forward. Second, we are looking at adding a new model, which is a school management business model, where we will manage not just by offering products and services to schools, but help them manage a large part of the actual delivery of education in their school. So that's a new business we are looking at. And third, we are looking at building a unique B2C online platform. A lot of work is already happening on this. And this is the part for which we are looking for strategic investors to help us fund the growth of this third model. So there's quite a bit happening in the schools business, which is why I'm a little reluctant to give you a very specific EBITDA number at this stage. But we intend to improve the numbers that we have delivered this year, for sure.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot. That was all from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Dipen Shah from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions. Firstly, just in continuance of the schools business, we have seen about 50% jump on the quarter-on-quarter revenues in schools. So if you can just throw some more light. And also the second question relating to the same business is we have been looking for some strategic options in the business. If there is any update, if you can just fill us in with that.
Yeah, so the first part, I think you need to understand the school business, how it works. School business, the main deals happen in quarter four and quarter one because they are linked to the academic calendar of the schools. So in quarter two and quarter three, most of the work that we do is actually early business development, and the major deals get signed in quarter four, which is before the schools close, or immediately after the schools start, which is in April, May, June. So there's a seasonality factor there, and therefore comparing quarter four to quarter three has really no meaning. You should compare with the previous year. Okay. On the investment side of things, as I said, we've got our vision document now in place. We have prepared an information memorandum to start discussing more seriously with investors, though we have actually been talking to a few before this. So the work is now starting in earnest. That's about as much as I can report at this point of time.
Okay. Just a couple of other things. Firstly, also there was a previous question regarding the online business. If you can just go give some more visibility in terms of the expenditure, impact on bottom line as far as this business is concerned. And the last thing is a couple of bookkeeping questions. I just missed out on the gross debt or the net debt and the debtor numbers. If you can just do them.
Yeah. On the online business, as I mentioned, in quarter four, we invested about 2.2 crores to build the platform and various activities around the content development. We expect that we should be having around 5 crores of EBITDA impact in the coming year on the investments that we're making in the online business. But we're also expecting revenue. So the total investment may be a little higher, but revenue, even if we take our pessimistic view, we hope the EBITDA impact will not be more than 5 crores.
Okay.
The remaining points I will ask Rohit to comment on.
Yeah, sure. So our gross debt levels have come down this quarter. So this quarter our gross debt is at $1,949 million. And we've also seen improvement in our net debt level. So last quarter, our net debt was 1168. And this quarter, our net debt is 1001.
Okay. And also the debtor number?
Sorry, could you repeat that? Your voice broke.
No, the receivable number, the debtor number at the end of the quarter.
I couldn't hear you.
Debtor.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sure. So, as I'd already mentioned, the debtors have also seen marginal improvement. Our debtors last quarter was 2567, and this quarter we have ended the quarter with a debtor figure of 2500 million.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ganesh Shetty, who is an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Hello.
Regarding our India corporate learning business, can you please outline the progress in this business, sir, this quarter? As we have a team, leadership you know, guiding this sector. So can you please outline the progress, sir?
Okay, Sapnesh, maybe you would like to answer this. What progress have we made in this business in this 1 year?
Sure. I think to a fair extent the progress is visible in the numbers. If you peel the onion a little bit, you could also see the progress made in diversifying from the energy segment into other segments, namely life sciences and banking and financial services. So now our solution is not just attractive to energy, telecom and technology, but it is being found to be interesting and effective in a wider and more diverse set of customer segments. I think our reach has improved. Our conversations with customers has improved. Our growth in terms of growth from existing customers has improved. So our level of engagement with our customers has improved. So overall, I think we are making improvements in multiple dimensions. We also pointed out that we have invested in a productivity improvement program, which is starting to show results, and I think we will continue on that path going forward.
Okay, I think I missed a part of the question. I'm sorry, Ganesh, for that. I think you were asking about CLG progress in India.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Oh, my apologies.
My apologies. I didn't hear that. I think we're making good progress. The pipeline for total corporate business in India is grown quite a bit. Much of the pipeline is still transactional business of the kind that we are doing earlier. But we are increasingly getting into conversations with a number of the major Indian and multinational customers with large employee bases in India who are interested in what we do for large global customers outside. So I'm hopeful that as we go through this year, we shall start seeing some movement towards strategic long-term deals from the Indian market. So StackRoute, for example, itself, some of the StackRoute deals that are being discussed are three-year deals. So these are companies who want us to address the training requirements of the top end of their IT workforce for the next 3 years. And there are similar deals which are nothing to do with IT, like we do with our customers globally, who are looking at full MTS contracts. So there are discussions going on, but it's still early days.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, sir, for that feedback. So my second question is regarding our digital transformation program, which we are doing in a very big way, or we are trying to do it in a big way. But my question is whether we are finding enough staff or competent staff to scale up these operations, sir.
Okay, so the digital transformation, it's a very good question first, because if there are not enough people in the industry, then it stands to reason that it's also difficult to find quality faculty. This is where an IIT has an advantage, because we already have in place a SLT or synchronous learning platform model, where an expert faculty sitting in Bangalore or Chennai or Delhi can deliver lectures and content and discuss case studies with students sitting in classes in 220 locations all over India. And we've been doing this for Imperia with IIM Calcutta, Ahmedabad for the last 8 years. So it's not something we're trying out new. It's well proven. And some amongst the most demanding customers like IIM Calcutta and Ahmedabad and so on. So that model is what we'll be using. So we have expert faculty. We don't need too many of them because the same faculty can address a large pool of students. The more difficult part is in every physical location, we need to have experienced laboratory mentors, people who are sitting in the laboratories supporting the students. But they're not really faculty, they are technical people who must assist the students when they have difficulties in the learning process. In that part, we already have a pool of faculty who are being retrained, and that program had already started sometime in the beginning of quarter four. So we are making good progress to make sure that when our first programs start in the end of May, we will have everything in place.
Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Chetan Vadia from GHB Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So, continuing with the digital transformation question that was asked, what kind of investment in capacities will have to create in order to achieve the desired revenue? And would this mean that the company will be seeing a 25 to 30% revenue growth over the next 3-5 years? And also, what will be the attendant EBITDA margin at the revenue of 500 million? And what will the EBITDA margin for the company, the long-term EBITDA margin that you would like to achieve?
Okay. So, number of questions. The first number I caught was the 500 million. And I suspect you are referring to a press article which said something about that.
Yeah.
Not a complete representation of what was said. There was a discussion about what we see NIIT's overall revenues ambition is over the next 5 years, not just the digital transformation training revenues. And that includes CLG and everything else.
Okay.
It's got no connection to the SNC business. It is for the overall NIIT and the ambition, including acquisitions, everything else that we, that I have been chartered as a CEO to try to achieve. Having said that, I missed the other part of the question. Okay, investment. On DigiNext, the investments that we need to make are predominantly around product development, number one, because we really have to put together very, very complex product offerings, because the whole model of DigiNext is also completely different from the way education and training was being delivered by NIIT before. The methodology is completely project-based. So people who come out of a DigiNext program or a StackRoot program, they don't just learn the theory and some amount of practice. They come out having actually produced things, and therefore they are going to be employable or productive day one. And from a StackRoot output, we've already seen the results of that, and the customers who receive these students are immensely happy with the capability and the confidence of the students who have emerged. The second part of the investment will obviously be around marketing, because we do need to get people to understand. While the industry understands, the recruiters understand, the technical people in IT companies understand what our product is about, it doesn't automatically translate to the undergraduate student understanding that this is a very unique and different product. So we need to reach them and get them to understand that, for which some amount of investment has been made in marketing. It's not anything different from what we've been investing every year. But we need to redirect our investments to making sure this message is fully understood. The third piece is because of the methodology change, there is some infrastructure changes that we have to make in our centers. All these put together are not very substantial, but because we are making those investments now, and some of them will be OPEX rather than CAPEX because they're people-related investments. Therefore, I had mentioned earlier that EBITDA in quarter one will be a little muted, because we are preparing ourselves for success for the whole year.
Okay, so some part of my question was, would this mean that the company will be seeing a 25-30% revenue growth over the next 5 years, and what may be the EBITDA margin at that level of revenue?
Yeah, well, I'm not saying anything about 25-30%. Our CLG business is growing 15%. Our SRC business grew 1% last year. So I'd be very happy if we can bring that 1% up to 15% over the next couple of years. And I'm sure all of you would also be happy with that. Right now, we're saying that our revenue growth rate for FY17 for SNC will move up from 1% to high single digit. And with our online business, which will really kick in from next year onwards, though we are launching it this year, we could see continued improvement in that growth rate. That's about as much as I'm willing to say at this point of time.
So, lastly, just to confirm, this 500 million is a 5-year target, right?
Yes, it's a 5-year target for the entire company's revenue, not only SNC.
And so, what will be the overall margin for the company that you would like to achieve?
If you want to have a target or a charter, and this is not a commitment that I'm giving, this is our dream or what we would like to achieve, it will be a 20% EBITDA, but right now I'm not giving you any indication that we are projecting any such number.
All right, sir. And sir, one last question, how has been the JV with the tutorial point is going at this point in time?
Sorry, your voice broke.
Yeah. What has been the progress under the JV with the tutorialpoint.com?
Cannot.
Yeah,
so we don't have a joint venture with tutorialpoint.com. It's basically a partnership. What we do with them is that we publicize their products on NIT TV and they publicize our products on tutorialpoint.com. It has been beneficial to us because tutorialpoint.com gets more than 1 million visitors every month and all of them are coming there for IT tutorials. So when they go and look at a Java IT tutorial, they also see a video link for the NIT IT tutorial on video and they come and visit our site. To us in helping us achieve that 300,000 visitors on our NIT TV site. But there's no commercial impact because, as you know, NIT TV is a free portal at this point of time.
All right, and lastly, just to confirm that then, the commercial portal is launching in Q1 FY17?
Yes.
Okay. I take it. That's all from my side and all the best to you.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Sufyan Lakrawala from Lalkar Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for giving me an opportunity. I just needed to understand. Your long-term borrowings have increased, if we see, to 180 crores from 114. As well as, like, if we see, your long-term loan and advances have also increased. So, any reason?
Long-term loans have increased. That's the question. And why is this breaking? So, if you...
Hello. Yes.
The question is that the long-term loans have increased. Is that the question?
Yeah, as well as long-term borrowings also have increased.
Okay. Yeah. Long-term borrowings also.
Yeah. I'll ask Rohit, our CFO, to answer that question.
Yeah, see, our overall gross debt has come down this quarter, but the mix between our short-term borrowings and long-term borrowings, there is a change. In this quarter, we have taken a long-term loan from Citibank of 60 crores, and that has been utilized, towards repayment of our commercial paper and other short-term borrowings. So overall, gross debt is lower this quarter.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
So the reason, of course, has been that as per the accounting standards, the utilization of long-term uses has to be with the long-term loans. So just to have that, we have taken a long-term borrowing from Citibank. Of 60 crores.
And long-term loans and advances? Hello?
Yeah.
Long-term loans and advances also? Please. Hello?
Yes.
We could give that to you separately while he pushes it out. You can,
okay.
After a couple of questions, we can answer that. Let him pull out.
Okay, sir.
And is it possible for you to come closer to a landline because there is a lot of background noise, having difficulty in understanding what you're saying?
Hello. Yes, sir. So these are the two questions.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ritesh Baladia from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving the opportunity. My question pertains to school degree. Mr. Rahul mentioned that there will be some new offering in terms of managing the entire education. Could you please elaborate? Is it like supplying a content as well as teaching staff, or how this format would work?
Yeah. So currently, if you look at what we do for schools, private schools, we offer certain products and services, like, for example, the math curriculum. We may offer some teachers. But the school basically buys these things from us and it takes the service from us. One of the concerns that we've had so far is that the effectiveness of our educational product is conditioned and governed by how the school uses it, which means how the school teachers use it, how the school plans to use the product, and the end result in terms of the impact it has on the children's education is not completely in our control, because the overall design and management of the way education happens in the school is by the school. So we've been looking at how can we improve the impact that our products have on actual results of school children. And for that, we would like to have a bit more control on the overall design of what's going on in the school. So that's one side of it. The second is there are a number of schools, as you are well aware, where the investor has the money, has set up a school, but does not necessarily have the competence and expertise to operate and run the school properly. Many of them are actually approached us over the last few years saying, we will make the investments, but can you manage the school for us in all operational academic delivery side of things? We have so far been staying away from this all these years. We are now looking at, in a very selective fashion, entering this space so that we can help refine our products to deliver better outcomes, but it will also result in a new revenue line called school management. Okay. We have no intention of starting and owning schools of our own. That is not a business we're getting into. This is just providing a managed service for the schools.
So, is this loosely similar to what you do for the corporate training?
In a way, it's like an outsourced contract where the school says, can you manage academic delivery of education in my school? The school remains responsible for commercial dealing with parents, with students, with the infrastructure, with administrative services and so on. But the education delivery is outsourced to us in terms of a set of services.
Okay. Sir, how would you manage the regulatory environment? Because I believe each state would have a different regulations pertaining to schools. So, isn't that make you a very complicated business?
Yeah, which is why this is not something that we are planning to do on a very large scale. This is a work in progress, and we intend to test the waters with a few school contracts in this year and then refine a plan going forward.
So which are the area, regions where you would do this?
At this point of time, no specific indication. We are in conversations with a few schools.
Okay. Sir, you also mentioned that government receivables have come down. I lost out on numbers. Can you please help me, sir?
Yes. Last quarter, our government receivables were at 1026 million. And at the end of quarter four, it came down to 953 million.
953. Yeah. Sir, if I see on standalone balance sheet, your debtors have come down from 133 to 120 crore. But on consolidated basis, the debtors numbers have gone up substantially about by 30% to 242 crore. And I believe the school is now under the consolidated because it is under subsidiary. So how this debtors have gone up?
So I think you are referring to the balance sheet which is, we've given in the ad, and this is a Schedule 6 format.
Yes.
So it basically gives, debtors under two heads. One is non-current and other is the current. So greater than 1 year and less than 1 year. The overall debtor number from last quarter has come down, like I already mentioned in the call. Last quarter, our debtors were consolidated number was 2567, and this quarter, as on 31st March, the number is 2500. If you are comparing from the last year, as we had also mentioned during our previous calls, the debtor number from 2172 as on 31st March last year has gone up to 2500. Primarily, as we had mentioned, on account of the delay that we are seeing in the government receivables and also the B2B business, the CLG business, which is now increasing and has become 56% of our overall business.
So even if I add up non-current trade receivables and current trade receivables, still it has gone up. So is it because of the school or... Is there any receivables gone up right because of the corporate learning also?
So on a year-on-year basis,
the overall receivables have gone up. As I have already mentioned, they have gone up from 2172 million to 2500 million. And yes, there are two impacts. One is the CLG business is now a larger portion of the NIT revenue, and that has, and there is a quarter end billing, you know, which happens, which obviously, you know, impacts the debtors at the end of the quarter. Plus, the government receivables, which, you know, we have obviously seen delays in receiving funds from government, which has contributed to our debtors at the stage that they are.
Okay. One final, this is the request. Can we expect NIT consolidated numbers in a Schedule 6 format from this year onwards?
So, what we are given in the ad and what we are required to give is the Schedule 6 format, and that is how it has been printed. We can give it to you in a simplified format if required, which is the MIS format.
I believe consolidated numbers on quarterly basis are not been given under Schedule 6. So would that, with now corporate structure which has gone simplified, so can we expect that even consolidated numbers would come in that format?
So what we are required to print are the...
You can share them on the call.
Yeah. No, we can share. I mean, those are available and they can be given.
Sure. That's all from my side. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I think we've overrun our 1 hour, so I would just like to make a few closing comments.
There are three people waiting in the queue, so take one.
So we will take one question from each of the three gentlemen or ladies waiting in the queue.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to limit your questions to one per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ruchi Burde from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. It would be helpful if you could share some light on your the business which company plan to discontinue, especially related to Skills and Career Group.
You're asking, are there any businesses that we are planning to discontinue?
Yeah, as in management commentary, we hear about the go-forward business. I'm asking about, as in some details regarding the business which does not fall in this category.
Yeah, the go-forward business, the businesses that we discontinued in the past were in the schools business, all the government schools business, that is one. Except for the ones that are to be finished. And in SNC, we had certain international geographies. For example, we are doing business in South Africa and a few other countries. We decided not to continue that. And we have got only certain focus countries like China and Nigeria and Indonesia, which we are targeting, which are very large countries, as you know. So since we won't be doing any more business in those countries, whatever in those other countries, the revenue from that is treated as non-go-forward, while the revenue from all the focus countries is go-forward revenue. Apart from in this year, we've actually also stopped selling certain products in the SNC business, which we had decided last year in quarter four. And this year, again, we have rationalized our product portfolio even further. And going forward, especially in IT, almost all our courses will be focused on the digital transformation curriculum.
Thank you, sir. I'll take the next question from the line of Rishabh Vasa from Almonds Global. Please go ahead.
So my question is regarding the our banking related education delivery. You have mentioned about the three bigger private sector banks, but there are various new banks are also coming up. So are we in touch with all these players where there will be huge opportunity going forward because they will be setting up a lot of branches and all these things?
Yeah, answer is yes. Already we have more than 20 banks who are our customers, and we are also focused at the new banks. For example, we do work for Bandhan Bank, and also looking at many of the NBFCs. We're also looking at some of the new payment banks, whether there's opportunity there. So far, of course, we haven't yet done any business with them. But yes, we're looking at the entire banking space.
Okay. And in terms of our this corporate learning group, this stack program, how is our delivery program, like we recruit faculties on our role, or they will be recruited on the contract basis and all these things, depending on the requirement of the training?
Yeah, so I think it's a combination. Where we have a clear demand for continued training on a particular topic, for example, mean stack, if we already see that we have demand for training large numbers over the next few quarters in a particular city, then we will take people on full-time basis. But where we are seeing a very point requirement, we may use experts who are on contract. So it's a combination.
Thank you, sir. We take the last question from the line of Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital. Please go ahead.
I heard in this conference call only that you are planning to launch your commercial launch of your website or something of that sort. Can you just elaborate on it?
Yeah. So we have been working on offering a multimodal learning portal where a student or a learner can go and select a course that he or she wants to do and then decide in which way he or she wants to do the course. So currently, all our courses involve a physical delivery in a facility, either an NIT facility or a business partner facility. They may also involve some component of online through NIT Cloud Campus. But through the multimodal portal, we will also be offering paid courses which are done entirely online, either in a SLT model where there will be a faculty online delivering a course and people will be attending that course online from their homes or wherever. Or there could be courses which are based on a combination of people-based services and content that is available online. So we are basically expanding our portfolio to offer paid courses which are completely online.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Now we are looking forward to your closing comments.
Okay, thank you very much. So just a few comments on the strategy going forward. So the corporate learning business, we continue to focus on increasing the number of big ticket annuity deals. We continue to focus on mining our existing accounts. As you know, all of them are very large customers. We still do a small part of their total training activity. So there is plenty of potential within those customers alone. We'll continue to focus on de-risking ourselves from the oil sector by focusing more on BFSI and on the life sciences sector. We'll continue to focus on productivity improvement and platform development. And we'll continue to focus on our search for good candidates for any inorganic activity. On the skills and career business, there'll be a very strong push on revitalizing our IT business through StackRoot and DigiNext. Which is targeting the reality that the Indian IT industry is facing, which is that they need to digitally transform. And NIT is already formally a partner with NASSCOM to help achieve this. We have a continued growth on Beyond IT, as I mentioned before. We will be investing more in the online business this year compared to what we done last year. And we'll be launching a commercial portal. In the schools business, as I said, our vision is defined. Our information memorandum for attracting strategic investors has been prepared. We've turned around the structure of the B2B business and we'll now be pushing it for growth. We'll be launching the new schools management business and we'll be launching sometime in the first half of the year online offerings in the schools business. And of course, during the year, we expect to be able to attract strategic investors at some point of time and we've started the engagement process. So with that, thank you very much for joining the call. I hope we will get the continued support from all of you as we have done over the last 12 months and look forward to interacting with you on our next quarterly results. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.